And good morning to you. I'm Ellen Speer. Welcome to Morning Drive on WPBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. And I am delighted to not only have coffee with you this morning, but also to welcome my guest, Jess Vecchia. She's the executive director and co-founder of Roots Rising. If you've ever been to the farmers market in Pittsfield, you know all about, at least a little bit about what they're up to. So welcome, Jess. Thank you for coming in today.
Thanks so much for having me.
You are the executive director and co-founder, and I was so impressed when I read your literature about the data-driven way that you went about figuring out what you wanted to do. Can you tell me what were you seeing that you decided that you wanted to take on what is a huge venture?
Yes. So the big project that you're referring to is we are launching or building out a farm and education center.
I'm going way back. Way back in the Wayback Machine. When you first founded, you did a lot of research. Can you talk a little bit about that research, what you were finding, and why you decided to do what you did?
Sure. So way, way back, our farmers market launched in 2013. You know, there has always been a farmers market in Pittsfield. There's a strong history of agriculture here in the county and in Pittsfield as well. A few years prior to our market launching, maybe 2 years prior, there was a farmers market at Park Square, and it sort of called it quits mid-season. It was a tricky location, I would say, for a farmers market. It was a full rotary back then. Park Square looks different these days. Anyway, you know, there are a lot of farmers who are interested in selling to the Pittsfield community, and a lot of residents who were interested in local food and having more food access in the city.
How did you find that out? How did you know that?
Yeah, we had been talking with farmers. We had been doing, you know, workshops with different farms. We had been attending the farmers market.
Right.
I think the final farm that was vending at the time was Taft Farms. That was sort of an anchor farm for them, and they were one of our first vendors at the Pittsfield Farmers Market as well. They wanted to continue to vend in Pittsfield, but just as the numbers of shoppers went down, they just couldn't, you know, make that commitment. Saturday is a busy market day, or it has the potential to be a busy market day, and, you know, our farmers have to be really thoughtful about how they're spending their time, right? So it is the farmers who are at the market selling. They're not just hiring staff typically to come. So if they could be, you know, making more use of their time on the farm, harvesting or, you know, doing whatever many farm tasks they need to be doing, they have to make those decisions.
Yeah. What happened to the way, way back, the one in the Berkshire Mall? There used to be a huge farmer's market in the parking lot.
There is still a market there. The mall obviously looks very different, but it's my understanding that, there are still vendors and they have some loyal shoppers that love, you know, that's the thing about farmers markets is we find our favorite people and we build relationships with them and we love to support their livelihoods. And so it's my understanding that that market does still run. It might just look a little bit different and these days as the
So not associated does. With you folks at
no,
all?
No, never, okay. never been. That's technically in Lanesboro. So
people always
say, you know, oh, is that part of your market or were you sprouted from that market? But no, totally separate. We have a lot of great markets in the county.
Talk to me about what you found out originally in doing your research about, there's a lot of talk about food deserts. First, tell us what they are and where does Pittsfield and environs fit in that?
Yeah, so, you know, a food desert is described as lacking in access to fresh food. You know, a certain radius of, you know, lacking in grocery stores. There's also the term food apartheid. So a desert is naturally occurring.
What does that mean? What do you mean?
Yeah.
Say more about that.
Yeah. So, you know, a desert, right, as we think about a desert as we know it, not associated with food, it's naturally occurring, right? It occurs in nature. It's part of nature. A food desert, however, isn't necessarily naturally occurring, right? So it has to do with, you know, where we choose to construct grocery stores or, you know, food cooperatives or farmers markets or wherever we're selling food. It has to do with city planning. It has to do with zoning, right? There's systems that keep food from being accessible sometimes. Mm-hmm. And so there is another term that is often used to recognize that fact, that it's not just a naturally occurring incident, that there is no food, but sometimes it's the systems in place that actually creates barriers. And that term is food apartheid.
Okay, so we may be our own worst enemy, in other words, sometimes in not understanding what the ramifications of regulations might be. And
yeah, and you know, there's lots of decisions that go into every business, right? You know, there had been a big movement many years ago, maybe there still is, to bring a Trader Joe's to Pittsfield or to Berkshire County. And you know, these businesses are certainly looking at, you know, what are their projected sales and you know, is there adequate staff there? And you know, there's lots of decisions that go into whether it's on the municipal side or whether it's on the business side. So
what are the parts of a healthy food system? What are the things that you have to have? I'm sure there's certain things that we should all look for, and you know, we can decide, do we have them here? Which ones are healthy? Which ones need a little life support?
Yeah, I mean, I think first and foremost, we've got to have the food, right? And so what are the conditions for growing? What are the conditions for hiring, for staffing, for land ownership or land access? Not all farmers own their land, but certainly land access, growing conditions. And then, you know, the capacity to meet your demand. Where is the demand? You know, farmers have to make lots of decisions on where they're selling. You know, the farmers market, for instance, is a direct consumer connection. That's a beautiful relationship about the farmers market. That's really, I think, unique. There isn't sort of a middleman that's taking a percentage of the profits.
Yeah.
You're building that relationship. You're educating the community as well. But yeah, there's lots of components that go into a food system.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So let's talk about you personally. Okay. What did you know about farming and vegetables and all of this good stuff before you got into this?
Yeah, I'm definitely not a farmer. My background was in social work and nonprofit management. So definitely have that that hat that I still wear every day. And I've learned a lot as well. You know, when we started the farmers market, my interest was really around food. I'm a super foodie.
Okay.
Grew up cooking and eating a lot. My sister is a farmer, so I had a deep respect and admiration for the hard work that goes into it. But yeah, I have a real entrepreneurial spirit. And so I think that also really intrigued me about the farmers market as well. It's lots of small businesses that are coming together, and you know, a farmers market can often be sort of an incubator space for small businesses. So it's unique in that way too.
That's an interesting point. So if somebody's never been to the farmers market before, describe.
Ooh.
Where do you park? What do? How do you walk in? How should you, you know, everybody's got their system. I'm a cruiser. I look at all of the, everything first and decide where I'm going to hit. Other people are like, oh, there's a tomato. I need it. I'm getting it now.
Yeah.
Talk about
totally
the best
true.
Way to do the market.
Yeah. I think everybody has their own best way. But so our farmers market is located. Our outdoor market is located at the Common in Pittsfield, which is 101st Street. There is a great big parking lot across the street, so lots of parking access. We're also along the bus route. It's walkable for folks who are in the downtown area. A lot of thought did go into where we located the market in our early days. Yeah.
Tell me about that process. What did you look at?
we looked at a lot of things. We looked at traffic patterns. We looked at where grocery stores were located. You know, who didn't have access. We looked at, we looked at vehicle ownership in the city. Right. I mean, access has always been a really important part of our market's design. And when I say access, our idea of access continues to expand and be evaluated. So in the early days of planning, you know, we were thinking about the physical access, right, to get to the market, physical access to get to food. And then, you know, designing the layout of the market, you know, we're thinking about, you know, how to make it an easy place to navigate for all different people, for all different bodies, for, you know, somebody who might be pushing a stroller, right? So lots of access. We think about the financial access. So making sure that we can create programs and initiatives that make our market more affordable and accessible in that regards.
What's an example of that?
Yeah, a great example is our Market Match program. And so, first of all, we accept nutrition benefits like SNAP, which is the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, and the WIC and the Senior Farmers Market Nutrition Program coupons. And then our Market Match program actually doubles those. So we have a matching component where, for instance, if somebody wants to use their EBT or their SNAP card and spend $20 off of their card, we give them $40 to spend at the market.
That's a good deal.
It's great. It really doubles the purchasing power of low-income shoppers in our community, and it makes sure that all of that money, 100% of those sales, go into the pockets of our farmers. So it's totally a win-win for everyone, and it just makes our market more accessible, more affordable, and we love that.
So when you show up, how many booths are there, and what's the range of things you can find?
Yeah. It differs every week. So if you sign up for our email list, we actually send out a weekly email that lists all of the vendors that will be with us that week and the type of products that that they'll be selling. But anywhere from 20 to 35 booths, I would say, is a good range. Lots of activities happening. When you come into the market, you know, immediately, you'll decide which route you take. You know, for me personally, I go right to the Roots Rising booth and I check in with our amazing staff team. We have a number of teenagers who are on our market crew helping run the farmers market as well. That's always my first stop. And then I typically go to get a coffee at Crosswalk Coffee, a bike powered coffee cart, which I love and adore. And that's sort of my path. And then whatever I'm shopping for, whatever looks good.
The
fun thing about the market is that, you know, it's seasonal, right? So the market in May looks totally different than the market looks in August. And that's why it's really fun to go back and shop every week.
The interesting thing, too, about this market is the involvement of teens in the city.
Yeah.
And can you talk about that? What are the what do teens do in relation to it? What are the opportunities? It's coming up on the summer. People may be looking for summer jobs.
Yeah.
How does that all work?
Yeah. So we run, in addition to the Pittsfield Farmers Market, we run youth crews. And so what started out as our farm crew program, where we hire teenagers to work on local farms around the county, they work in food pantries. And there's a real learning element there. They take workshops like financial literacy and culinary classes. And that is an amazing program. We created a graduate level program for our farm crew alumni, which is market crew. And so anybody who has gone through our farm crew program is eligible for market crew. So we have five teens right now who have been on one, maybe two different farm crews of ours, and now they are working at the farmers market.
So for parents who or older people who have younger people in the house who are thinking about this and what they're going to do for their kids in the summer, what are the qualifications? And if a teen listening to this would like to get involved, what do they need to do?
Yeah, so up until just now, right now, our youth crews have only been, only Pittsfield teens have been eligible to apply. But this summer, we're actually very excited to be expanding to all Berkshire County teens. And our applications are live now. I believe next week they are due for summer farm crew.
And give me a date of when that would be. Do you remember roughly?
Our summer farm crew starts, June 30th, and it runs for 5 weeks.
Yeah.
And everyone who applies will get asked to interview. Mm-hmm. So it's really, we have far more applicants than we're able to hire. We hire 12 teenagers three times seasonally, so spring, summer, and fall. And so we have hundreds of applicants every year. But we really are committed to taking everybody through that process because it's a first job for many and it's a first job application process for many. So it's a great learning opportunity. And often we'll have teens apply multiple times and eventually they will get in. Yeah. We love that persistence as well.
So in other words, a teen might apply that if they get selected, they might get an assignment. Guess what? You're going to XYZ farm. Congratulations. Is that how it works?
So we actually work all together as a crew.
Oh,
so the crew
okay.
model is, I think, something unique that we do, and we do it really intentionally. We learn so much when we're working together. They are not all by themselves. Yeah, 12 teens all together. We have a 15-passenger van. We have two staff that are with our crew at all times. We have college-aged interns in the summer that join us as well. And we show up, say every Monday at Holiday Brook Farm. Every Tuesday we'll go to Red Shirt Farm. So once a week we go to different farms. And so, they have different work projects for us over the course of the time that we spend with them. And they get to see, our teens get to see, a whole month or more of progress on the farm and get to be a part of it.
Yeah. And for people interested in this, they should realize it's an outside job. And how does all that work?
It is.
If it rains, do you still go out?
Yes. Farm work has to happen all the time. It's something that our young people learn. We have a term at Roots Rising. We say a lot, adventure weather. So we are out there. We've been out there in the snow. We've been out there in the rain. We've been out there in the peak sun. The farm work, it doesn't stop. So, obviously we don't go out in a thunder and lightning storm, certainly not, because there's always, potentially indoor work or greenhouse work that can be done. But it's a blast.
So they do that work. And then talk about, you graduate to work in the market. How does that work?
Yeah. So once somebody has gone through one of our farm crews, they become eligible to apply to be in market crew. And again, it's even more competitive because we just have 5 positions each year. But our market crew, we have a great crew right now. They have a few markets under their belt since our market started a couple weeks ago, or our outdoor season, I should say. The market runs once a month during November through April, and that's in the Zion Lutheran Church, which is right next door to the park where our outdoor season takes place.
So is there any work with animals, or is it strictly agricultural?
We do. Some of the farms do have livestock, so a number of our farms do, and that is always a favorite. It's just another way to connect, and it's a big responsibility, so there's a lot of learning there as well.
Yeah.
It's not just fun. Yeah.
So what kind of jobs in the market do the kids who are involved do?
They participate in all of it. So they show up at 7 a.m. Before our vendors arrive, and they start prepping and setting up tents. And tables, they start laying out the market. And then they also help load in our vendors. So they're an incredible support system for our vendors, which is something unique that our market is able to offer. A lot of farmers markets are run by, volunteers or farmers themselves. And so to have that extra set of hands or 5 sets of hands to help you unload all your heavy coolers and things is great. And then once the market is up and running, they process transactions. So they're helping run credit cards or SNAP cards. They're in the summer months when school is out, we are a Summer Eats site.
What does that mean?
Yeah, Summer Eats is a great program. And the idea is that it's to help bridge the summer hunger gap. So when school is out of session, that's a consistent and often free meal for a lot of young people in the community. And when school is out of session, sometimes that meal could be their only meal, disappears for the day, or for, you know. And so there are different Summer Eats host sites all around the county. And so we are, I think, still the only weekend Summer Eats site in Berkshire County. And so we provide free breakfast and free lunch to all youth under 18. And so our teens help distribute those meals. You know, they sell some of our merch, some of our gear. Sure. They talk about Roots Rising. They give out surveys to our shoppers to make sure that our market is really doing everything that we can, you know, meeting all of the needs of the community.
Yeah. So how does someone who'd like to have a meal at the Eats program, what do they need to do? Where do they need to
go? They just show up. It hasn't started just yet because school is still in session. But once school is out, our Summer Eats site is live, and we'll have a breakfast and then we'll have a lunch. And they just show right up. There's a tent right near the market manager booth. We have great signage for that, and they just show right up and we'll get a free meal.
Back to the market again. Music, other diversions, goes on?
Yes. So it's definitely more than just a place to shop. So we have live music every week. We have a great lineup of musicians. We have lots of fun activities as well. So we have a community booth that we offer to different organizations. And they'll come set up. We've had the Berkshire Athenaeum come set up and showcase their you know, their little mobile library, which is also bike powered, very cool. They get folks registered for memberships. They have this cool, you know, lots of programming. So we have Berkshire Arts Center that's come and they do sort of art making activities with folks. All different groups will come and set up different fun, interactive activities.
Yeah. So it's a lot more than just weekly shopping. It's a happening.
It is
every
a
Saturday.
Yeah.
Tell me just a little bit. We're going to do a little serious stuff, and then in the second half, we're going to talk more about your new farm, which I'm really excited about. Food benefits are in flux at the moment.
Yes.
And people are very concerned about that. How is your organization thinking about that? And have you formulated a response yet?
Yes, it is. So in December, we saw that that HIP benefits were cut.
And what's this HIP stand for?
So HIP is a Healthy Incentives Program. It's a statewide program. Everybody who has the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, which is the a federally funded program in the state of Massachusetts, is automatically enrolled in HIP. So it's an extra benefit for Massachusetts residents who already use the SNAP Nutrition Benefit Program. HIP is a great program. It really puts more fruits and vegetables onto the plates of those in need and is, again, another way to get more dollars into the pockets of our farmers. So a really wonderful program. The amount of benefits that you get each month depends on your family size. And so so families could get anywhere from $40 to $80 in additional benefits on top of their SNAP benefits each month. And so in December, we saw that program get cut, and everybody across the board, their benefits went down to just $20
so,
a month.
I heard a lot also about food pantries being in need, and some farmers markets, if you have your own little victory garden at home and you've got more tomatoes than you could ever use, that there are places to drop them off. Do you all participate in a program like that too?
We do. We have a giving table at the Pittsfield Farmers Market that we've had for a number of years, and shoppers can come and purchase and donate food. A lot of our vendors at the end of their day will take what they haven't sold and bring that over to the table as well. And then we have a team of volunteers that distribute those to local pantries. The need now is even more immense, as you can imagine, than it has been in the past. Pantries cannot keep food on the shelves. And with a lot of the federal funding cuts, the access to funding is affecting, the Western Mass Food Bank. It's affecting the food pantries. It's affecting the farmers. It's having a huge effect. Yeah.
So, can you bring things that you grow at home, or can you only bring packaged things and stuff like that?
We have had shoppers do that with really big home gardens, and that's just such a beautiful way of community showing up for one another. So definitely that is possible. And there is an initiative, I think, that Berkshire Bounty and others are spearheading called Grow a Row. And they're encouraging folks to if you have a home garden, to dedicate a row in your own garden to grow food for the pantries. And there's some information on Berkshire Bounty's, certainly their social media, I would imagine their website as well. So really asking the community to step in bigger, more creative ways to show up for one another when funding is in such flux.
That's terrific. What kind of things should somebody think about growing for this? If you're, hearing this and saying that, gee, that's a way I can really, sometimes people feel helpless, and this is a way you can kind of roll up your sleeves and really do something to create community. What's the best kind of stuff to grow for somebody that is high chance of success, that, you can get it in your car into the market without it being all banged up? What do you think people should do?
I mean, I encourage people to grow what they also like to eat, right? So, and sometimes you can grow a couple different things if you're creative about how you're laying out your garden. So, sugar snap peas, for instance, that's an early season, crop, and then once that passes, you can plant something else and maybe get a few different crops that you're able to donate. But I think, growing things that you love, often other families will love and appreciate that as well. So,
and how do you package that in order to bring it? Is you're reusing plastic bags, stick them in there? Should they be washed? How do you prepare them for the market?
Yeah, those are great questions. I'm not sure if Berkshire Bounty has put out specifics on how they would like to receive the food, but certainly, yes, I would say cleaned packaging or fresh bags are great. Paper grocery bags are also great. Yeah. Trying to reduce our plastic as much as possible, but.
So the reduction potentially facing potential cuts in food, that's going to affect farmers too, isn't it? Because they were paid to grow for food pantries, things like that, which is no longer happening. Is that right?
Some of those food programs have been cut. Some of our farmers, what's I think really tricky is that we keep hearing different things. Things are cut and then they come back online, or things stop and that's really, really hard when you're trying to plan as a farmer, or when you're trying to plan as an organization or a food access site, to know what you can count on. And so to be relying on that kind of funding is really daunting and creates a lot of internal chaos. But yes, I think, with SNAP potentially being on the chopping block in the budget, there's a lot of ramifications for that. It's food is obviously an essential. So to have funding being taken away, people need to look at their budgets and figure out how they're still going to get food into their homes. And so,
Yeah, hold that thought.
Yeah.
We're going to talk a little bit more about that, but then we really want to talk about your farm.
Okay.
I can't wait to hear about it. Stay tuned. This is Ellen Speer with Morning Drive. I'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield. 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
PCTV Select is now available on so many platforms. You can get it with any device you have available, all free to download and use. If you're watching at home, use your Roku, Amazon, Fire TV, or Apple TV device, or even your computer, and see programming in full HD quality. Watching on the go? Download PCTV Select from the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store for your smartphone. It's that easy and free. PCTV Select is everywhere you need to be.
Thinking about starting a successful business or expanding an existing one? We've helped over 1,500 businesswomen and men do just that. We're the Massachusetts Small Business Development Center Network, located in Pittsfield, and we cover all of Berkshire County. Contact us at 499-0933 or visit us on the web at msbdc.org/Berkshire. Best of all, our services are free and
confidential. Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Mass. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms. Customized solutions available. Online at sundrini.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back. WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
And good morning to you again. You're listening to Morning Drive. I'm Ellen Speer. I'm here with Jess Vecchia, who is the executive director and co-founder of Roots Rising. If you're thinking about your garden and looking at the seemingly weeks of rain we've been having, she is a breath of fresh air to be talking about what can grow in the garden and how it can grow not only crops but community. So welcome. We were talking about how the market, how there are ways that you can help in the community, like growing vegetables in your market, in your home garden, and bringing them in. And there may be other ways that people can help, because with potential confusion about food benefits, people may be at risk. Can you put a human face on who's most at risk in Pittsfield if these food programs decline in funding?
Yeah, I just pulled up a little something we had written, a letter to the editor that has a little bit more information. So nearly half of SNAP households include older adults. 50% include a person with a disability, and 40% include children. With 45% of Berkshire County households already experiencing food insecurity, one of the highest rates in the whole state, Berkshire County, these potential SNAP cuts would definitely deepen what is already an urgent crisis. These are our neighbors.
Yeah.
There is no one face of somebody who uses SNAP. It's a benefit that is needed, and it serves a really important purpose, right? Like, food is an essential for all of us. Everybody should have access to food. It shouldn't be a struggle, and these supports are there for a very good reason. Yeah. And when we take them away, they have huge ramifications. Yeah. For the whole community, not just our folks that have this benefit. Like you mentioned, you know, it's also our farmers. When we take away this funding, it's our farmers that suffer as well.
I'm going to ask you to turn your mic more toward you while we talk okay. about what you guys are doing. That's perfect.
Okay.
What you guys are doing to help, because in 2024 you bought a farm.
We did. Yes. Well, we bought a property that will become a farm.
Okay.
It, as I told you when I walked in, it looks a bit of a mud pit right now with all this rain and with our construction having just begun. But we are very, very excited. This has been years, literally years in the making, and it's really starting to happen. So we're thrilled.
What was the decision that, you're doing all these great things with the farmers markets and connecting everybody and teens, and it's like, we ought to have a farm. How did that come about?
Yeah, I think having a farm of our own was always sort of in the way future dream, and it was really during the pandemic where that timeline sped up for us. It's hard. It feels like another lifetime ago, right? But if you can remember back, grocery shelves were practically empty. There just was this fear about access for food. And our farmers started to see their CSAs, their CSA membership numbers creep up. I think people started to really reconnect with the local food system in a really beautiful and necessary way in that time. And so, we realized, this is something that we need to speed forward. Something else that came out of the pandemic, we closed all of our in-person programming. The Pittsfield Farmers Market went virtual. It was a really interesting year for us. And, we had 100 adult volunteers in the community that came together every week and put together food that had been ordered and then go out into the community and deliver food all across all of the county. We had these routes of delivery.
Sure.
And we saw adults in our community looking for that meaningful work that we provide for our young people through our youth crews. We heard from adults in our community that they were looking for more opportunities to connect with one another, to feel that sense of purpose and, deepen their sense of community. And it really clicked for us that the work that we were doing really needed to be broadened, and we really needed a home base to do it. And so that after, 2020, we started searching for land, and it took us a few years. We wanted to make a material investment in the city of Pittsfield, and so it took us quite a while to find the right spot. We needed a certain amount of acreage. We needed healthy soil to be growing in. There were a lot of things that we needed in order to find the right spot. And so it took us a while, but we did. We found a wonderful location right near the airport on Barker Road. And we have a 6.5-acre property now. We've been there for just over a year, and we've spent this year really designing what is turning into the Farm and Education Center. So,
you said it's a mud pit. What's it going to be when you go to sleep at night and you have the vision of what are you hoping to turn it into?
Yeah, it's really exciting. There is one building on site already. It's a little Tudor house if you're driving by. A lot of people are familiar with that because it's sort of unique in this part of the country, the Tudor style house. And so that right now we're using as office space, and eventually we will renovate that building. But our primary focus right now is on getting the farm infrastructure in place. And so we'll be constructing two new buildings this year. One is the shop, and that will be equipment storage and sort of a workshop space for, repairing equipment. Every building that we're building has extra space built in because we have this education component in everything that we do. There's an opportunity to learn for our young people and also for community members. Lauren, our farm director, just took a great tractor maintenance workshop the other day. And as we've talked about it with other farmers, it's like, I would love to do that as well. So, really building in space to have more people in to have those opportunities to learn. The other building is the hub, and that's really what we're envisioning to be sort of the heart of our campus. The hub will have a lot of different components. It's just about 3,000 square feet, and food will come off the farm fields. It will enter into the wash pack station, and so that's where the food will be washed and packed or sent to processing. From there, we have pretty significant cold storage, so refrigeration and freezer space. You know, we at the Pittsfield Farmers Market, our shoppers are constantly looking for more winter produce. So whether that's produce grown during the winter months or produce that can be stored and kept over the winter season. So that's a real gap that we've identified at our market, and we've heard that similarly at other markets and during the winter season. So really making sure that we have enough cold storage and dry storage as well to help fill that gap. From cold storage, we go into a beautiful commercial kitchen space. And again, this space is designed to have lots of people in it. It's really a working kitchen and a teaching kitchen. Super functional. There is a need in our community again for more commercial kitchen space. We have a lot of small entrepreneurs, food producers, farmers even, that are wanting to expand their offerings or start a food business and to sometimes convert their home kitchen. There's barriers there or challenges. And so offering that as a kitchen rental space, offering that for community cooking classes. As I mentioned before, our youth crew members all take culinary lessons, so being able to do that on site as well will be great. And having small-scale farm dinners, I mean, so much potential. Yeah.
So really there's excited. Fermentation in our future.
Yes.
Huh? And all your output will then go to the farmers market, I assume.
We definitely will be selling at the Pittsfield Farmers Market. We'll also be having our own small CSA. So the CSA, for those that don't know, it stands for Community Supported Agriculture. And the idea is that you become a member. So you enter into this beautiful relationship with whatever farm your membership is through, and you provide them with payment early in the season, and that gives farmers that initial capital to get started, because there's a lot of output and expenses at the top of the growing season. So you invest in the farmers, and then the investment comes back to you. So there's a weekly share that you get as the bounty grows throughout the season. Yeah. So we'll be having our own small CSA as well. And so in front of that commercial kitchen space, there will be sort of a CSA pickup room, community education space as well. Mm-hmm. And then we're really excited as well. The second floor will have apprentice housing for six apprentices. So, you know, housing, again, we talk about the challenges that we have. Housing can be a barrier for sure. We have a housing crisis. Housing is becoming less affordable, certainly, if you can even find it. And so we want to make sure that anybody that wants to come and learn from our programs has, a level playing field to do so, mm-hmm. so that we're working on reducing as many barriers as possible. And housing is definitely one of them.
So how many acres are you planning to have under cultivation?
Yeah, so we have... probably with all of the different growing areas, when we're in full production, we'll have about 3 acres, and that would take into account, we'll have 2 acres of the main cultivation fields when we're up in full production. We'll have a small pick-your-own field. We'll have our propagation house, our high tunnel. These are sort of greenhouses for indoor cultivation. And we'll have a couple mini orchards as well, so that we'll be growing some perennials and some fruit as well. I think when all is said and done, we're anticipating about 3 acres. Our first year of production will start small. That's how we like to do things, really thoughtfully, and learn as we go. So in our first year of production, which will be 2026, we'll probably have about 1 acre. At that point, or that's our goal.
Yeah. Well, you just talked to me about a lot of buildings.
Yeah.
Can you tell me, it's not something you snap your fingers and it's done.
No.
So can you talk to me about how you're rolling that out, how you're funding that, any mm-hmm. other ways the community can help?
Sure, yeah. So we have been working with a really wonderful team on the design. We've had farm visioning sessions for many years now with both our teens and the greater community. So they've been involved in in all of the process as we go. And then we've hired Group AU as our architect team and Eric Zahn Builders as our contracting team. They're all amazing. We just feel so supported and really will have just great success in pulling this huge project off.
So
we have a capital campaign that we'll be running, that we've been running and will continue to run. This is a multi-year, multi-phased project. That's the only way to take on something this big, in my opinion, is to go thoughtfully, to go slowly. This year we do have a big construction year ahead of us. And there's a lot more to be done on the farm. As I mentioned, the main house will get renovated. We'll have demonstration gardens that will get built out. We're hoping to have a timber frame open air pavilion. I mean, there's just so much potential. But that will come down the road, potential for livestock down the road. This is a big project right now. And so we do have a capital campaign. We've raised about $2.4 million to
Congratulations.
Date.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Great.
Thank you.
Great start.
It is a great start, yeah. And we're thrilled. That's really what has allowed us to start and move forward. We've got a long way to go. We're working on securing the last steps of our construction loan. And that will really help bridge the funding for us because, you know, some of our funding is reimbursement based and all of that. So that'll help get us through the year and with this major construction project.
So by the summer, by the end of the summer, that administrative office building and what else do you anticipate being completed of the construction part?
So the main house, which is where our offices will be, we're not going to move on construction on that just yet. But the shop, the equipment storage, will be going up.
One.
Yeah. So right now, if you drive by, you'll see they've started to build out the parking lot. Parking is going to be huge for us. We had about 6 spaces when we first.
Yeah. Everybody who comes to visit you and everyone will want to has to be somewhere, right?
That's right. So parking is a really important first step. Building out the farm roads, figuring out the plumbing and all the electrical underground stuff. And that's what's happening now.
Mm-hmm.
And then the equipment storage building will go up. And they're starting to put in the initial framework for the hub, which is the big building. And I imagine that will take a while. But by fall, those two buildings will be constructed.
So the public might be able to visit at that time, your fingers crossed?
Yeah, fingers crossed. We are, we're bringing different small groups in to come and tour with us and dream with us. This is a community project. We want everybody to be involved as we're planning and dreaming still. You know, as I said, we're going slow. So part of the reason we're not doing everything right now, certainly budget, but also I think, you know, we want to learn along the way. So bringing in more groups and more individuals to think about what this space could be, how it could be used, and pulling in their ideas as we continue to design the space.
Yeah. And a tricky thing, too, is now is not forever. And how you design a space that can change as the community changes and community needs change.
That's right. Yeah, that's actually a really important part of this design process is we know what we know right now.
Right.
And so we're trying to plan things with as much potential for growth and expansion as possible. So and with as much flexibility and adaptability as possible as well.
Mm-hmm. And it looks like this is going to be a major expansion of the opportunity for teens to be involved. Talk about what the vision for programming is and where you're going to start and how that's going to expand.
Yeah, so since we've had the property for this past year, all of our crews have spent at least one day at our farm site. So dreaming with us or working on a physical project that's needed. We are planning on expanding. So as I said, we have 3 seasonal farm crews at this point. We are imagining we'll be able to add another farm crew that would focus on our property as well. So that's really exciting. We're also building in sort of a pathway where our young people can be hired. We've seen this with a lot of our partner farms. So a lot of our farmers are, end up hiring our farm crew teens when they finish the program. And so having that pathway at our own farm is really important to us. So as we expand, we'll also have more staff positions, and that would be our dream, is to be hiring some of our young people that we've already had a great opportunity to work with.
Yeah.
And again, of course, that apprenticeship program will be new. And so bringing in, you know, young people, or not even necessarily young people, but folks who are more interested in going into the food system field. You know, our farm crews, we're not necessarily training a cohort of farmers with that program. You know, we're looking to use our farms as a space of learning, right? So teaching some of these critical life skills and critical workforce skills. It's, you know, we're learning how to communicate. We're learning how to work with people who are different from ourselves. We're learning how to push past our comfort zones and really persevere, you know. There's a lot of learning that happens, and a lot of confidence building, a lot of really real empowerment that happens when you do this kind of hard work, right? And so we're looking to really give our young people the confidence and the skills to go off and achieve whatever their goals are. But our apprenticeship program really will be geared for those who are looking to go into the field, whether it's ag or something within the food system sphere.
One thing that I thought was really interesting in learning about your organization is you talk about meaningful work being transformational for teens. What do you mean by that?
Yeah. So meaningful work, we say, is work that needs to be done, and it serves a larger social good. So when we show up at our partner farms, we're not asking them to create a fun project for us.
You know,
we're asking, like, what is it that you actually need, and how can we be of service to you? And when you are able to really get work done, you know, our farmers at the end of the day will say, what you just did in 3 hours would have taken our team, you know, 3 days to do. I mean, that feels, I mean, it's authentically needed. Like, the impact for the farms is huge. And what that leaves our young people feeling, it's so empowered, right? That they were able to make that kind of impact. I feel, you know, Roots Rising is my meaningful work. I love my job so much. I know how important it is to feel that sense of purpose and pride in what you do. And like I said, you know, it's not just for young people. Adults are craving that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You talked about the possibility for a culinary program. How are you going to go about developing that? Because I hear a lot that there's shortages. Restaurants are always looking for people to help front of the house and back of the house. Have you talked? What have you found from talking to the community about that?
Yeah. I mean, I think that we'll be able to provide the space. We'll certainly be able to provide culinary lessons. You know, we're in conversation with a lot of chefs, many who don't necessarily have their own kitchen. So offering that as a space for them to also teach. So not all of the programming that will happen on site will necessarily be led by Roots Rising. I think, again, you know, offering this space and these resources to the community, we're able to do so much more together in that kind of way. But having lots of conversations, you know, we're in talks. We've been working with Aaron Oster, who was formerly at BCC, an amazing chef and educator, you know, dreaming with him about the space, dreaming with BCC about the space, you know, different culinary groups. We are working with Brooke Bridges, who's an amazing chef and educator. She's been teaching culinary right now for our youth crews, and you know, that's the fun part of it, is dreaming about all the potential.
Yeah. So apprentices, who are you going to be looking for to be apprentices, and how will they be transformed after going through your program?
Yeah. They'll have a whole season of farming under their belts. And so it's there's just a lot of learning that can take place. You know, they'll learn all aspects of what it takes to be a farmer, and they'll be involved in all of it, in the, you know, running a booth at the market, in the CSA distribution. So not just the growing of the food, but of what comes next, right? They'll have an opportunity again to take the food into the kitchen, and thinking about different, you know, value added products as well.
What do you mean by that?
So right, we have our whole vegetables. We were just talking about green beans today. So,
yeah.
As one does, yes, on the farm. So, you know, we can sell the green beans as is, but we can also pickle the green beans and have dilly beans and have those last for a much longer time period, right? So different types of products. If we have tomatoes that are a little bruised and maybe, you know, our CSA members don't want that squishy tomato, okay, we can make some tomato sauce from that. So thinking about what else sort of we can add to the produce, how else we can take it to the next level.
So are the apprentices going to be 18 plus in years? Are they not students?
Yes.
Who are you looking for?
Definitely in that adult age range. They would live on our campus. And so there's that communal living aspect, right? So not just learning together on the farm as coworkers, but living and learning in that communal space. Definitely looking for adults.
So when do you think you're going to be ready to be reaching out to the community? Because I'm sure there will be a hue and cry and you will be up nights reading papers.
Yeah. I think, you know, our farm director is starting to plan out a lot of these components. But I would say this year is construction for us. And designing of what will happen in 2026. So I would say stay tuned until 2026, and we'll have a lot more information at that point on those kind of programs.
Oh, my goodness. I don't think we can all wait till then. So nothing's going to go in the ground to get planted this season, in other words. It's all going to, the farm will get activated.
Possibly. We'll have, our goal is to have a fall planting of garlic at a minimum this year. That's
okay.
Our goal.
Okay.
And then, you know, if our high tunnels are able to go up, there could potentially be some winter growing.
And a high tunnel is a?
It's a, like a greenhouse, yeah. It's a more common term.
So as we get to the end, it's been delightful to talk to you. Tell me, go through Saturday, the times, where it is, where you park, what we're going to see, probably for the month of June, because, you know, what kind of vegetables and what kind of things are we going to see?
Yeah. So the farmers market, the Pittsfield Farmers Market, is every Saturday now that we're outdoors, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. We are a rain or shine market. We will be there. It is on 1st Street, 100 1st Street, also in known as the Common Park. There's a great parking lot just across the street, so you just need to walk across and find us. Right now, some of the very exciting things at this early spring season. We've got asparagus and rhubarb, very exciting. So that's really fun. We've had some bok choy last week as well.
Yum.
Literally every week things start coming on. And so, you know, we'll start to see sugar snap peas and then, you know, all of the things. Tomatoes are later in the season. We definitely, as soon as the market opens, we always have that question, like, who has tomatoes? A lot of our farmers have beautiful seedlings as well. So if you're looking to start your own garden, now is a great time. And you can get all of your seedlings to grow anything that you want at the market. So herbs and vegetables you can get as well.
That's great. Well, I thank you so much, Jess Vecchia, the executive director and co-founder of Roots Rising. And you can see the work that she's doing in the community every Saturday. And we're all really thrilled to see what finally happens with the new property and the new farm. So thank you for being with me this morning. Have a lovely day. I'm Ellen Speer, and you've been listening to Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Have a fabulous day.
The sound of the open road. I wanna drive in.